Hello and welcome to Cut the Cake, the no BS wedding podcast sharing industry secrets and wedding day intel couples are craving to plan and enjoy their wedding planning process with actual info you need and plenty of laughs along the way. I'm Melanie James, aka Melly Rain, and I'm joined by
Tanya Hall, aka the Event Wanderer Co. And together we are your hosts, bringing over 20 plus years of wedding and event industry insights to your ears. Recently, there has been a buzz in the wedding industry, and the buzz is all about film photography. In this episode of Cut the Cake, we are joined by Nathan, photographer and owner of Analog Modern, who specializes in capturing magic moments using film photography. In our chat, Nathan shares his process of shooting with film and the unique qualities it brings to photography, the editing process of film photography and what clients can expect in this particular photography style, as well as Nathan's approach to photography and capturing the true feeling of a wedding day for his clients using film photography. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome to another episode of Cut the Cake. We are so thrilled to have another guest with us for this episode, and a huge big welcome to Nathan from Analog Modern. I'm just going to let him dive straight in and tell you all about what he does. So Nathan, do you want to give our audience an introduction to yourself and also what exactly Analog Modern is all about?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for having me on. Pleasure to chat with you both. Yes, Analog Modern is my wedding photography business. I guess the main difference between what I do and what other wedding photographers do is that I shoot entirely on film. So I offer both, the main service is photography, so shooting on, doing still photography on film, and then I also have like an add-on, which is Super 8 film, which is it's like motion picture film, so video, and then, yeah, so cutting together like little highlight videos, but they're shot entirely on film as well. So that's pretty much it. I mean, it's not too much different to any other one, but yeah, it's all analog processes.
Well, yeah, we are very excited to have you here, Nathan, so thanks again for jumping on. Now, I don't know if you've seen, but as a photographer in the wedding industry, I've seen more and more couples interested in film photography and Super 8 become a bit more popular, which is exactly why we've got you on here, because we really want to dive into it. So I know you touched on it, like what film photography and Super 8 is. Is there any more sort of like detail or ways that you explain to couples how that can work on a wedding day and how it sort of essentially differs from, in quotation, normal photography? And I suppose how you came to specialize in that area?
Yeah, it's become very popular lately, and I think it's probably, you know, seen film photography make a really big resurgence in the last 10 years maybe, and it's become really popular with consumers, and also, you know, there's professionals sort of picking it up again, and so that's obviously, you know, flowed into the wedding industry, both from, I think, couples wanting it and, you know, a lot of couples who shoot film themselves just taking their own family photos or just photos of their own life at a, you know, I guess a consumer kind of level, and then professionals also starting to offer it just to, I guess, as a bit of a point of difference or because they're doing that in their own practice. I mean, the difference is obviously you're working with film cameras, not digital cameras. So digital cameras, you know, you have a digital sensor and it's saving the image on the memory card. Film is what, you know, we all shot up until the early 2000s, where you're, you know, loading film in the camera and then, you know, sending your film off to a lab to be processed. The film's all scanned now. So unlike back in the day when we used to go down to the chemist and drop the film off and we'd get our little pack of prints, and now have film scanners, which were being introduced just before digital cameras really took off. So all the labs will offer digital scan. That's the main thing they sort of do now, is they process the film and then digitize it from the negative, and then send over, you know, the collection of digital images just as JPEG files. I guess the main point of difference for couples, I guess it's a bit of a different experience, because depending on the kind of cameras and film photographers are using, they'll work a bit differently on the day. And then there's obviously quite a different look to the images that have been shot on. The film will have its own look as opposed to a digital picture, you know, potentially using older lenses, which, you know, give a different look to the pictures as well. But that's kind of the main difference I guess, from the experience of a couple or a client. It's just, yeah, like the way the person works on the day and how the finished image looks. Once you get the scans back, it's really the same as, you know, the same kind of workflow that photographers who shoot digital would. They're just working with a different file format, but, you know, still bringing photos into Lightroom, you know, you're able to do some editing on those and saving out digital images into it, you know, an online digital gallery.
How would you, like, I surprise, describe, I know that it's a different look, which it totally is, but if you were to explain to like a couple who had no idea what film photography looked like, how would you like describe that from a verbal perspective, the way it would look?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest difference is like when I look at digital photos now, I just find they look very clinical. They're like very, very, very sharp and clean. And you could sort of say that higher quality, depending on the, you know, what you sort of define as quality, but, you know, like it's just high, you know, like kind of comparing a you know, like a 4K TV to a HD TV or something like that. Like they might seem more clean and clear and crisp, but that, you know, film has I find it has a more natural kind of look. Like it's actually a picture that's made of, you know, these tiny little grains of silver. And so you're actually looking at like a physical thing, and it just renders colors so beautifully and renders tones so beautifully, like that, you know, the people who make film have spent, you know, nearly 200 years like refining this process and like trying to capture color as beautifully and capture skin tones as naturally as they can. And, you know, that all kind of got reset when digital cameras came out. So I just find film, you know, the pictures are just, they're just very flattering. And, you know, one of the things I love about it is it just reminds me of the way pictures looked 20 or more years ago. And I think we have those kind of colors and those tones kind of, you know, they're kind of saved in our brains. Like that's how the world looks, because we've seen, you know, we've just seen pictures looking like that for so long, and then all of a sudden it's changed. So I think when you capture photos like that, even now, you just kind of get taken back to that, and you just remember how, you know, how the world looked at this. So it's kind of got this nostalgic quality to it.
Do you find as a result of that and the way that the process is with the film, do you end up doing many edits to the images that you get back after they've gone through that scanning process to become a digital image? Or do you still allow the natural shot to come through?
Yeah, I don't myself do a lot of editing on the pictures. I process and scan all my stuff myself. So I've a bit of a different process to other people who would use a film lab. But the things that I do are obviously what the lab is kind of doing behind the scenes. Yeah, I mean, you're getting a lot of the look of the image, you know, or like the preset, like that people apply now on digital photos, that looks kind of like that's in the film. Like that's kind of what you get the film for, is the way that it looks. So you're not having to make those, you know, dramatic changes like people do on digital photos. And the scanner kind of, each individual film scanner will apply its own kind of look as well. So you're really just making smaller corrections, you know, correcting the exposure and the contrast and color balance and things like that. You're not trying to do as, yeah, potentially as big a shift as people do with their digital files. There's less information to work with usually in the film scan than there is with the, you know, like a raw file off a digital camera. But yeah, it's sort of, if you were to push it that far, it's kind of like partly defeat the purpose of shooting film in the first place, I think, because you kind of want that look. Yeah, like I said, you know, like companies like Kodak have spent so long working that out and you know, getting it to that point. So I don't like to, I trust them more than I trust myself, I guess, with how it looks. And that's the thing that I love about it is, you know, is the look of it all. So I just, yeah, try and stick with that.
Fantastic. So how would you then describe your style as a photographer, like your end result? What, putting those end photos into words, how would you describe that for someone?
I think as long as a visual style, I don't know, the word timeless gets thrown around a lot, which, yeah, it's kind of one of those things that's almost, it's been a bit like everyone uses the word timeless, and that means different things to different people. But I guess I just want, I don't want my photos to date. I don't want them to have a style like, you know, if we look at wedding photos from 15 years ago, they look like wedding photos from 15 years ago. And even photos now, I'm not saying anything disparaging about people's styles or anything like that, but I think, you know, a lot of styles that people are using now in 10 years, they won't be using, and that will, of course, date the images, because it's like, oh, that's how everyone took pictures in the 2020s. I just want to take pictures that just still hold up in 60 years. And I think using, you know, a format that, you know, you can look back at pictures from the 1960s and they're beautiful and the colors are amazing. And so I just kind of want to match that kind of style, I guess. Yeah, in years to come, it kind of holds up and people don't look at it and go, oh, no, exact this, oh, this is so like 2010s or something. Like, yeah, I guess that's kind of the aim from a visual point of view. And then there's obviously, you know, your approach as a photographer that influences that kind of thing as well.
Are you finding with your area and particularly film photography and Super 8, are you personally seeing a bit of a shift with couples or people in events wanting that style of photography? And if there is, what you are noticing, is it a particular couple? Like, are they chill? Are they just really specific on what they're wanting and that when they're coming to you for that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess kind of seeing industry-wide, lots of different people doing it, and I guess that means, you know, there's a range of couples who want it and a range of photographers who, you know, like working in that medium. In terms of my own stuff, I get a lot of people coming to me because they're looking for someone to shoot specifically on film, but the type of couple within that does range a bit. But I'm finding more that my approach to like how I photograph on the day and the kind of images that I take is probably having more of an influence now that I've got that a bit more established than just the fact that it's on film. I book a lot of couples that either didn't know I shot on film or like kind of knew that and had questions about it, but weren't specifically looking for that. They were just more drawn to the style of photography, the way I capture sort of moments and the way I approach the day.
Are you doing a lot of sort of city-based wedding with that style, or are you finding that more people in regional areas are looking for it?
I find it's just a bit of a mix, to be honest. Yeah, I don't really have any consistency with the inquiries that I get. I generally have two ways that the inquiries come from. Like, it's either Google searches or through Instagram, like social media. And yeah, it's generally a mix of country, regional kind of weddings and inner city stuff. So yeah, the consistency I'm finding with my own business and the people that are coming to me they're just people who, I guess, share the same kind of values I have around what they think is important about weddings and just in life and what kind of things they want, you know, captured and want to remember. And the kind of people, like, they're generally just very shy, reserved, sweet, quiet cat people.
We have noticed that, and you adore cats.
Yeah. So that's probably where I think the consistency comes from my point of view. You know, their visual style and, you know, their dress sense and the venues and all those kind of things vary a lot, but they're just generally the shared values and people who don't like having their photo taken but really value photography.
Cool. So one of the things we love about your whole approach is that you're obviously very chilled. You know, we've said that a couple of times now. And on your website and your socials, you say, "My photographs are honest and aim to capture the true feeling of the day rather than just pretty pictures." Can you explain to our listeners what that actually means to you and how you go about this when working with your clients?
For me, photography is just a really powerful tool, and a really good photo isn't necessarily one that looks really pretty or is technically correct. It's one that can like kind of just transport you back into that moment that, you know, you can like, you see yourself or you see the moment and you're just reminded of exactly how you felt in that moment or like what you were talking about or, you know, just something small like that. So I think for me, I think there's a lot more value in capturing moments like that rather than trying to make really, like, I want to take nice looking photos, obviously, not at the expense of the experience of people in the day or, you know, taking away from the moment and how people will remember it. And so I think, you know, I'd rather capture something that's a bit, you know, that's less than perfect or imperfect in certain ways, but, you know, has a lot of feeling behind it. I think, you know, there's more to photos than just, yeah, everything kind of being pretty. So that's kind of my aim on the day. And what I tell couples is I really try and find a balance of understanding that a photographer has a real presence at a wedding or at any kind of event. People will always act differently when you have a camera out, like for better or worse, whether they want to pose or they want to hide. If you have a camera, people will act differently. So you need to be aware of that. And so I just try to find a balance of making people feel comfortable with my presence, knowing that they will act differently when I arrive, and also trying to be unobtrusive. And just, you know, and hopefully if I get that balance right, you know, people will feel comfortable. They'll know that I'm there, but they can see that I'm not making them do things that are uncomfortable. Hopefully I'm not making them feel uncomfortable just with my presence anyway. And, you know, once you kind of get through those initial awkward stages, you know, people know I'm there, but they just don't care anymore. And they're too busy having a good time, you know, spending the day with their friends and their family. And they know that nothing is required of them from a photography point of view. So, you know, that's when you just get people acting naturally and then I'm able to photograph in a way that captures natural moments. And so it's a bit of a balancing act, but that's kind of the aim. And I think if I can get that right, then I can capture real moments and, you know, capture things that people will want to remember.
100%, because that's what people want on the end of the day, is those real moments captured and not that I want someone in their face, but not in my face.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody's different, you know, like not everyone wants that. Like I always say to people, there's the right and the wrong photographer for everybody, and I would be the wrong photographer for a lot of people. You know, some people have different ideas of what their wedding photography is, but so I think it's, you know, really important for people to find, you know, the right person, like not just someone whose style they like visually, but some, you know, someone who has the right approach for them on the day, and, you know, that they can kind of trust that they will capture the things that are important, because there's just a million different ways to photograph a wedding or photograph anything. So you need to have, you know, trust that the person is, you know, going to capture the things that are going to be important to you.
Now, this might sound like a bit of a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I have actually no idea because I'm not a photographer in film photography. Are film photography cameras the same as, in quotation, modern cameras that most photographers use? Do they look the same? Is there film in the back? I'm just picturing like an old school camera around your neck on a wedding day.
Yes. You know, there's a million different cameras that you can get that shoot film. The main one that I use is Canon 1V, which is the last professional 35mm camera body that Canon made. So it actually looks like a modern digital camera. It looks just like a 5D, same kind of shape and form. It's just when you turn it around at the back, there's a door that opens up for film, no LCD screen, but it takes all the like modern lenses and modern flashes. So it's really fast to work with on a wedding day. You know, it's got great autofocus and metering and rewinds the film super quick. So for shooting in like a documentary kind of style, or when, you know, moments are happening that you can't repeat, it's a really great camera to have. But yes, most people don't realize that one's film. So they kind of, I mean, and it doesn't really matter whether people know, you know, guess. I mean, obviously the couple always know I'm shooting on film, but guests are like, oh, that's like when they see me changing a role, they're quite surprised. And I did have one guest recently, she wanted to take a picture of me with some, she's like, you should be in a picture. And I was like, okay, it's the end of the night. And I gave her my camera and she took one, and then she just started bursting on it. And I took it later, and then I was chatting with her and I mentioned about film. She's like, oh my God, it was film. I can't believe, like, I took like 10 pictures. And I was like, yes, you did. I know. It was very awkward. I didn't want to like tell her to stop.
This does lead a question that I'm quite intrigued about. How many rolls of film would you go through?
So I shoot, I probably shoot about, for an 8-hour wedding, I probably shoot about 20 rolls of film for 35mm film. So that's about, so there's 36 photos per roll. So that's about 720 photos. I have some other cameras that I use for portraits. So some like a medium format camera and a large format camera would take much bigger formats of film, but they're much slower to use, but they're really beautiful to use for portraits. So I might shoot another couple of rolls and some sheets and things in those. But yeah, the main part of the day is on 35mm, which is what most people are familiar with. It's the format that everyone shot in their, you know, in their point and shoots when they were young, or, you know, the most common format. So yeah, probably about 20 rolls in 8 hours.
I am just, all I can picture right now is the Friends episode where Monica and Chandler get married, and then they've got all those cameras, and he has one job. He needs to go get all the film developed, and he loses them. And all I'm thinking right now is, have you ever had a moment where you've lost one of the films, or you've had a freak out and you've gone, oh my God, where did I put it?
I did lose a roll. It turned up, but it got lost in the boot of my car. And it was like the start of the day. It was that we'd done like first look and some getting ready stuff, and that was what was on there. And I label everything. I have systems in place so I know I've got all the film. It's not just in bags. Like, everything has to add up at the end, and just could not find this roll and spent the whole wedding stressing about it. And we went through the car like 5 times and we found it in the end and it was fine. I haven't ever lost anything. That was the closest I came, and it was quite a sickening feeling. But I mean, the same thing can happen with, you know, with memory cards. And I mean, having an entire wedding on one memory card is, I think, more stressful, because it's like this one tiny little bit of plastic. And I know of 3 different photographers that have fallen into fountains on wedding days and gone in with their cameras. And I'm like, you go in there with your memory cards. So I'm like, at worst, if I lose a roll of film, I've lost 36 pictures.
So then you just have to, like, I don't know, get Monica and Chandler to kiss again and kind of capture them.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
To redo the moment. Oh, dear. I reckon that'd be my greatest fear as a photographer.
Yeah, well, there's risks with everything that, you know, you do. But anything, I guess, yeah, it seems a bit scarier when it's the actual thing is a physical object, no digital, there's no undo key, there's no backups, like it's just...
It is the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. It just teaches you to be more careful, I think.
I guess with, like, Tanya and I, our event management background, we're always thinking worst case scenario, like, how do we avoid that?
It's a default setting.
Well, that's a good way to be.
Now, I know you touched on the process of, like, creating or developing, I should say, film photography. What sort of time frame would that be? Like, does it differ much to, I keep saying normal. I know it's not normal photography, but just the modern photography.
You can call it normal. I'm weird. Everyone else is normal. That's fine.
Is there much of a difference in that time frame?
I guess it would depend on the kind of lab you use and what you're doing. For me personally, there's not much difference. I don't do a high volume of weddings, which I think probably is the biggest contributing factor for photographers, how quickly they're turning galleries around. You know, if you're doing 60, 70, 80 weddings a year, then you're just going to have really high workload. I'm sort of doing 20 weddings a year, so I've got plenty of time to work on them. But there is definitely more work after the wedding for me than there is for someone who shoots digital, because I process all my film myself. So by processing, I mean developing it. So when the film goes in the chemistry and goes through its processes so that you have, you know, the film come out of the back of the camera and, you know, you have your strips of negative and they're ready to be scanned. So I do all that myself. So I'll do that, you know, the few days following the wedding, and then scan that week. So I actually do a set of sneak peeks. They're like the slowest sneak peeks probably going around, because they take me a week, not like the next day. But I sort of get those done. Usually if the wedding's Saturday, I'm usually delivering those Thursday, Friday following. And to get to that point, I've processed all the film and I've scanned it all and I've just taken out the few and finished those off that I'm doing for sneak peek. So after that, that's probably the majority of the work. So then I have the full gallery delivered probably 2 weeks after that. So my turnaround time's probably, like 3 to 4 weeks for the full gallery. So I don't think it's really too much different to other people. But, because everything does take a lot of time, like just physical time. Like, you know, even things where I process film, I have to wait for it to dry overnight. Like, there's no way for me to rush that. It just has to sit in the cabinet and dry overnight. So I just need to be a bit more methodical with how I, you know, plan my workflow after a wedding. Because when I first started, I let it just bank up. I'm like, oh, I'll get to that soon. I'll do this one at this point. And all of a sudden there's a huge pile of film there and you're just way behind and you can't just catch up really quick, you know, because it does just take time to do each step. So it's good because it keeps me, I have these, you know, like having the self-imposed deadline of the sneak peeks means that I'll always stay on top of processing everything and hopefully just keep a normal deadline. And I think people will be understanding of, you know, it being a bit slower, but I don't really want it to be that way. I don't want it to be different just because I'm shooting a different medium. I want to, you know, offer the same service that other photographers are offering.
And it's not really that different, to be honest, in time. I mean, it's probably a little bit quicker than some of the photographers I'd worked with before. Like, photographers can take anywhere from sort of that 2 week to 12 weeks, depending on their workload, like you said. So, and like any photography, like the end result is so worth the wait. So whether it takes 2 weeks or 12 weeks, what you get at the end is just like chef's kiss. So I think it's worth the wait.
Yeah, but I think there's like a period of excitement with weddings. And I think if you drag it out too long, one, you don't want couples to be getting annoyed because, I mean, that's not good for business. But also I think it just puts a dampener on the whole thing for them. You know, when they do finally get the photos, you know, you don't want them to think, oh, it's about time we got these, or, you know, finally we've got them. You want them to still be on that high from their wedding. And that's only going to last for so long. And, you know, and you want them to be able to share stuff while people are still interested, you know, like everyone likes spamming their wedding content and that's great. But if you're doing it like ages after your wedding, I think maybe some of the excitement for other people to see the photos as well might be kind of gone. So I think, you know, kind of owe it to couples to, you know, get it to them reasonably quickly just so that, you know, they can enjoy it.
100%. Yeah. Now, I love an aesthetically pleasing Instagram grid, which yours is. Because yours mirrors color with black and white photography, is there any difference? Do you shoot with different film for doing black and whites, or is this all part of the editing process that you turn those into black and whites at all?
Yeah, I shoot on color film and black and white film. So I do a combination on the day, and it's about, I guess, just obviously there's things that I want to do in color, like family photos. I want to make sure I do in color because people are going to want color versions of those. And any of the major kind of moments like first kiss and those kind of things, I feel like, you know, they need to be in color. And then I guess doing black and white, you know, just becomes a bit of a creative choice. And it's usually sort of 2/3 of the images are color and 1/3 are in black and white. It's just the general average of where things come out. I appreciate that about my Instagram because I do try very hard. I mean, I do go alternate black and white and color on it, which I think kind of looks nice, and it can be an absolute pain sometimes. But I just can't break that, and I kind of plan it all out. So I'm glad that's coming through.
I'm all for an aesthetically pleasing Instagram grid. I love it. It's the designer in me. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a design background from many, many years ago, and I think it makes a difference when you land on someone's page, and you know, I mean, it's just like a little mini website. So you kind of need, I don't know, you need it to look good.
So do you find, because I personally love black and white photography, like I just love it. Do you find that couples lean one way or another with colour and black and white, or are they, you know, happy to have a bit of both, or what are they thinking at the moment?
Yeah, it's not something I discuss with people too much, to be honest. I've had some people in the past who've asked me if I can do everything in colour, and ultimately they haven't booked me. Like it's been in an initial meeting, and I think that's probably just a sign that, you know, maybe film wasn't for that. I mean, there's a million reasons why they might not have booked me, but when people ask that, I don't know. I think just having it on the website, you know, people get a good idea of the way that I shoot and what's kind of being captured. And yeah, but no, it's not, it doesn't really come up too much. But like I said, I think, you know, because I cover off the main things in color, and hopefully people can see that on the website. And most people who shoot digital these days are, you know, doing a fair chunk of black and white conversion. But I love black and white. I mean, I think it, particularly with film, it looks so different. Like black and white film really does have different quality to color film, and it might not come across so much on, you know, on Instagram, on a small screen, on a small scale, looking at those images. But when you see them big, there's very different tonality and grain structure, and that sounds really nerdy. But when you look at it, like, I just feel like sometimes they're just almost emotional looking at, like, the way the grains, the way the image is rendered in black and white. And it kind of gets back to that, what I was talking about, you know, trying to capture those kind of timeless images. We've had black and white wedding photography for so long. Like my grandma, you know, at my grandma's house, she has on a piano that she uses as a mantle. She's got a picture of her wedding day. I think she has her parents on there. Then she's got all her kids, like my mum and, you know, her siblings. And yeah, the earlier ones, like, you know, and they're shot on black and white, and they're still beautiful, and they still hold up so well. Like, this, you know, they're not sort of crappy quality images or anything. And
Yeah, and I think as well with those, like, I know we've got a very similar at my partner at his mum's house with the photos on the mantle, and we've actually had a lot of his grandparents redone, so taking them into the professional camera places and got them repurposed just so that we can actually have them blown up so that they do have that, you know, place. And it's very hard to tell the difference between the original shot versus, you know, the new version of it that we've got to put up on the mantelpiece. I love black and white photography. That's just me.
Yeah. Now the prints they made back then, you know, they were really amazing. They were darkroom prints, and there's not anything lesser quality about them. There's a different look to them, obviously. And a lot of people look at them and go, oh, it's like a vintage image or kind of like, but I think if you look past that and just look at the actual quality and you know, just the way the light's rendered and the way people look in those pictures, like they are just really beautiful. I think they still hold up.
I don't miss that. Now, Nathan, if someone is interested in working with a film photographer like yourself, what are your particular service offering? How do you work with couples? What can they expect when working with you? Do you have set packages that you offer? Can you give us a bit of a rundown on that?
Yeah, I don't think I offer anything too differently to most wedding photographers. I break my packages down into like a half day and a full day package, and then I have, which is just for photography, and then I have like the little Super 8 films as kind of an add-on. And I just found most people who were booking me weren't booking a videographer. So this was kind of like a little in-between thing. It's like they didn't want to go for a full videographer or pay for a whole other package or have more people there, but this was just like, yeah, kind of to fill the gap, but they kind of wanted something. So that was kind of, and you know, it obviously suits the, like, Super 8 film kind of ties in with the style of photography that I'm doing, so everything kind of looks, you know, a bit more consistent. Yeah, in terms of working with couples, I mean, I think it's all just very similar. Like I said, you know, a lot of people come to me and they already know a bit about film photography and the process and stuff, because they're usually interested in it themselves. So there's not too much to explain from that point of view. And if they do, I mean, I think from a experience of, you know, for the couples and for clients, like, it's not really any different. It's someone just taking your picture. I think, you know, the difference of experience comes from how your photographer approaches the day, not whether they're using an old camera or a new camera or they're shooting on film or digital.
Are you there on the day, or do you have someone else there with you? Like, are you doing film and someone else is doing, right?
I always have an assistant with me, just because there's lots of extra little things to do. Like, you know, I do bring like five cameras on the day. I only, mainly use two of them, but I do have a whole lot of other stuff. And it's just things like, you know, loading film and labeling and, you know, things like that that most people don't have to deal with, that you just kind of want a second pair of hands with. Yeah, so usually I have some, I'll have someone with me, and if I'm doing Super 8, then they'll also be shooting the Super 8 film as well. So try and keep things like pretty minimal, and so I guess I don't want to have, you know, a big impact on the day or have a huge footprint. I think that just, you know, the more, like I said, the more people notice you and feel that presence, then the less naturally they're going to act. And also just like they're not going to feel as comfortable and have as good a time, which I think is... I was going to add, like, in terms of other photographers, there's, in terms of like other photographers at the moment, like, there are a lot of people who are offering like film photography add-ons. So people who shoot digital and will offer it as add-ons. So, you know, if people are interested in film, like, there's other avenues as well. Like, you don't strictly have to, you know, just find someone who, it's not one or the other. It's becoming very popular. It's people who, like, they're hybrid, or, you know, they just offer, you know, to shoot a few roles extra. So yeah, it's becoming a lot more commonplace. So, you know, there's different add-ons and things you have to packages, but I think from an experience point of view, it's all pretty, it's, you know, you're just having your picture taken.
Doesn't matter what it's on or what's actually, you know, been captured on, whether it's film or digital. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So on to the all important question that we ask all of our guests. And we are taking, like, you know, a bit of a poll here as to what it all is, but what is your favorite cake flavor? Completely off topic, not photo related.
I do love cake. I don't know if it technically counts, because it's I don't know if pavlova is really cake. It's more of just a dessert. But my grandma, who's 90 now, makes a pretty good pavlova. So it's hard to go past that. Although I did really like I listened to Taylor's episode and she said choc ripple cake, and I was like, that's just like the all time classic. I'd probably have to agree with her.
If it looks like cake, let's classify it as a cake, as far as I'm concerned. So. Pavlova is delicious. Great choice.
And it's got fruit on it too, so it's healthy.
And it leads to the question, is it Australian or New Zealand?
Oh.
Well, obviously it's Australian.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's a no-brainer. I don't think the Kiwis out there are probably agreeing with this, but anyway, isn't that what we all do? We just nick all the stuff from New Zealand?
They're too nice to argue anyway, so we'll be fine.
Well, we can't thank you enough, Nathan, for jumping on and giving us all a bit of an insight into the world of film photography and Super 8. I've certainly learned a few things, and I can definitely see it, why it's becoming so popular at the moment at weddings. So thank you so much for jumping on. Before we do let you go, if people do want to connect with you, what is the best place to direct people to? Instagram, website, tell us indeed.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure. I'm on Instagram and analog_modern. And website is analog-modern.com. Or if you just search my name, Nathan Queso, I'll pop up somewhere in some capacity.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much again. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, until next time, everyone.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to hear more of us in your ears, subscribe to Cut the Cake on your streaming platform and leave us a review.
We'd love to hear from you. So if you have a burning wedding question for us, be sure to slide into our DMs on Instagram at Cut the Cake Podcast, or send us an email at hello@cutthecakepodcast.com.au.
Thanks for listening. And remember, a party without cake is just a meeting.